Welcome to week 12, topic 1, genetic susceptibilities to autoimmune disorders. Autoimmunity is believed to develop when genetically predisposed individuals encounter environmental agents that trigger the disease. The number of validated genes is growing rapidly in the field of autoimmune disorders, and the most recent research is showing that the environment can contribute to autoimmunity by modifying gene expression through epigenetic mechanisms. Studies in identical twins have shown that the genetic susceptibility, however, is insufficient and that the environmental epigenetic effect appears to be playing a much stronger role in autoimmune disease. It is the epigenetic component that researchers haven't really been able to fully elucidate yet. Many autoimmune diseases occur more frequently in women, and researchers have pointed towards the hormonal connection, which alters Th1-mediated immune responses and altered T-cell homing. When combined with chronic stress and toxicity, the Th1 immune system can become dysfunctional. It can become more complicated case by case with Th1 and Th2 balancing, but we will be focusing on understanding how the Nutrition Genome Report can help determine genetic susceptibilities and epigenetic triggers for each individual. So let's talk about genes, heavy metal detoxification, and autoimmune disorders. The genes associated with mercury levels and toxicity include MTHFR-1298, GSTM1, and GSTP1. Mercury-sensitive individuals are more likely to have allergies, asthma, and autoimmune-like symptoms, especially rheumatoid-like ones. The ingestion of mercury is oftentimes associated with increased levels of yeasts, bacteria, and molds, which are thought to function in a protective manner to absorb excess mercury from the body. Aggressively eliminating candida and other pathogens by antibiotics with a significant body burden of toxic metals may cause the sudden release of large amounts of toxic metals. Mercury overload has been associated with a number of autoimmune conditions, including Hashimoto's, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Mercury affects insulin, estrogen, testosterone, and adrenaline levels. Insulin has three sulfur binding sites, which can be bound by mercury, causing the interference with normal biological function and a dysregulation of blood glucose levels. One study provided robust evidence that brain reactive antibodies are increased in mothers of autism spectrum disorder children and may be associated with autoimmunity. The analysis of the autism spectrum disorder mothers with brain-reactive antibodies also revealed an increased prevalence of autoimmune diseases, especially rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. Now, what about the HLA genes in autoimmune disorders? You've probably heard a lot about HLA as a class in terms of whether it be wheat, peanuts, or mold. And much of the current literature has focused on the HLA genes for autoimmune disorders. However, the HLA genes have been associated with gluten sensitivity, peanut allergies, mold sensitivity, and the results really aren't consistent. When the Nutrition Genome Report looked at the HLA genes for gluten sensitivity and peanut allergies, it was inaccurate for the majority of patients, despite what the research literature said. And this is why we say that the genes need to pass both the research test and the clinical test. The reason that these were inaccurate markers is that epigenetic factors are much more relevant. Unlike true celiac disease, gluten sensitivity stems from epigenetic changes from the microbiome and the digestive system that creates a sensitivity. And we have seen this, we've seen gluten sensitivities and peanut allergies skyrocket. And theories for this include changes in the microbiome, the obsession with antibacterial products in a sterile environment, we're not being exposed to enough, low vitamin D levels, and a poorly diversified diet early in life. In terms of diet, cruciferous vegetables and omega-3 fatty acids have been shown in studies to suppress food allergies, and that would be my studies. It doesn't appear that autoimmune disorders and mold sensitivities are really coming from one set of genes like HLA, but a combination of genetic pathways that involve hormones, deficiency, toxicity, and inflammation. Second, it appears that many autoimmune disorders actually have a similar etiology, yet the subtle differences in individual biochemistry manifest as unique autoimmune disorders. In many cases, hypothyroidism is caused by Hashimoto's disease. And hypothyroidism occurs 10 times more in women than in men. The list is fairly long for what affects the thyroid, but in terms of heavy metals, autopsy studies done in the 70s revealed that the thyroid and the pituitary retain and accumulate more inorganic mercury than the kidneys. And mercury blocks thyroid hormone production by occupying iodine-binding sites and inhibiting or altering hormone action, leading to the impairment of body control temperature, hypothyroidism, thyroid inflammation, depression. Fluoride and bromide are also two that will block iodine uptake. Thyroid peroxidase antibodies, it's an enzyme in the thyroid responsible for thyroid hormone production. A test for TPO is the most important because Hashimoto's most commonly occurs when the immune system attacks TPO. Thyroid globulin antibodies, TGB, is produced in the thyroid and is used by the gland to produce thyroid hormones. New moms are at a greater risk for Hashimoto's, and some women flip from hyperthyroidism to hypothyroidism after pregnancy, which can look puzzling on blood work. And people with Hashimoto's are also at an increased risk of developing other autoimmune disorders. So here are the potential triggers of Hashimoto's disease: estrogen fluctuations after pregnancy, gluten intolerance, insulin resistance, polycystic ovary syndrome, vitamin D deficiency, Epstein-Barr, Lyme disease, mold infections, poor digestion, environmental toxins, and heavy metal toxicity. So what are the genetic connections to Hashimoto's disease? Well, VDR and CYP2R1, the vitamin D genes, are relevant. Studies in Japanese, Chinese, and Croatian patients found that more than 90% of people with autoimmune thyroid disease have genetic polymorphisms in VDR that affect their ability to process vitamin D. So a leaky gut, high stress, obesity, inflammation, and certain medications like antacids and blood thinners reduce the absorption of vitamin D even further. The VDR receptor requires magnesium, calcium, vitamin A, K2, boron, and zinc to function properly. Assessing these nutrients both through genetic SNP requirements, diet supplementation, and medication-induced depletions really help determine receptor requirements. And then there's FAD-S1 and FAD-S2. So these are the omega-3 genes. And variants in these genes can help show a patient where they have a higher need for EPA and DHA, which support T regulatory cells. And there have been a number of clinical trials assessing the benefits of fish oil in several inflammatory and autoimmune diseases in humans, including rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, psoriasis, lupus, MS, and migraines. Research claims that the HLA gene factors account for 20 to 60% of the MS genetic risk. However, there is a discordance rate of 70% among identical twins that shows a very strong environmental factor in disease pathogenesis. Studies of individuals with similar genetic backgrounds but living in different parts of the world have revealed significant differences in disease prevalence, especially from sunlight exposure. The Epstein-Barr virus infection has also been implicated in the inflammatory response in MS. Increased levels of the pro-inflammatory cytokines, so IL-1, IL-4, IL-6, and TNF-alpha, and decreased levels of the anti-inflammatory cytokines, so that would be IL-10 and IL-4, they've been reported to correlate with disease progression. MS affects three times as many women as men, showing a hormone connection, and both estrogen and testosterone have been shown to be neuroprotective. And both hormones have been shown to reduce glutamate-induced neuronal cell death, so this is going to be connected to the GAD1 genes. And T cells of MS patients respond abnormally to glutamate. Glutamate by itself activates resting normal human T cell and induces and elevates key T cell functions. T cells can even produce and release glutamate and affect other cells and themselves via their own glutamate. In MS, there are excess glutamate levels and multiple abnormalities in glutamate degrading enzymes, glutamate transporters, glutamate receptors, and glutamate signaling. Glutamate released from autoreactive T cells induces excitotoxic cell death of neurons. The evidence has really accumulated showing that abnormal glutamate levels and signaling in the nervous system, direct activation of T cells by glutamate, and glutamate release by T cells all contribute to MS. So please review all of the genes associated with glutamate in week 6. Histamines also have a connection in MS, and cerebrospinal fluid histamine levels in MS patient samples have been found to be significantly higher, making the histamine genes also points of interest. So to conclude for MS, CYP2R1, VDR, GAD1, BDNF, which has been found to be lower in MS patients, PEMT, choline is neuroprotective, and then APB1 and HNMT for histamine should all be reviewed. Rheumatoid arthritis is a systemic autoimmune disease affecting approximately 3% of the population worldwide and characterized by chronic inflammation and destruction of the synovial joints, leading to this progressive joint damage and disability. And familial and twin studies suggest a greater than 50% genetic contribution to RA. The familial risk due to the HLA genes has been estimated to be less than 30%, suggesting that non-HLA genes may be playing a significant role in RA susceptibility. Sex hormones appear to play an important role as the modulators of autoimmune disease onset and perpetuation, and the peak incidence in females of rheumatoid arthritis coincides with menopause, when the ovarian production of sex hormones drop markedly. Animal studies have revealed distinct beneficial effects of estrogens on arthritis, and a positive effect of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy has been reported in women with postmenopausal rheumatoid arthritis. Now, the GAD1 genes and BDNF gene also are relevant for rheumatoid arthritis. So glutamate signaling, it's very relevant because glutamate concentrations in synovial fluid have been reported to increase more than 50-fold in patients with RA compared to controls. And the common treatment for RA is the drug sulfasalazine, which targets glutamate signaling. And researchers have stated that the modulation of glutamate signaling may alleviate RA symptoms. Vitamin D plays an important immunomodulatory role and appears to be appreciably reduce RA symptoms. A Swiss trial found that 86% of 272 RA patients had deficient or insufficient levels of vitamin D. The vitamin D receptor is located on the surface of immune cells. Because immune cells play an important role in promoting inflammation in RA, it seems logical that vitamin D would also have a role in RA-mediated inflammation. And vitamin D does more than just arrest damaging immune cells. It also strengthens protective immune cells. So T regulatory cells are specialized components of the immune system that help keep immunity balanced. If too few T regulatory cells are present, the immune system becomes overactive as in an autoimmune disease like RA. And vitamin D increases the number of protective T regulatory cells, restoring equilibrium to an overactive immune system. The prevalence of vitamin B6 deficiency is elevated in people with RA, and this deficiency has been associated with more severe symptoms. A study found that treatment with 100 milligrams daily of B6 reduced blood levels of TNF-alpha and other pro-inflammatory cytokines in people with RA. A folate deficiency is particularly common in people with RA as well, because they're being treated with methotrexate as this drug depletes it. Curcumin is one of the recommendations in the Nutrition Genome Report for lowering TNF-alpha. And one study found curcumin alone powerfully suppressed C-reactive protein by 52% from baseline, while diclofenic sodium alone only decreased CRP by 1.5%. The investigators of this trial remarked that, taken together, our present results provide a clear proof of principle for the superiority of curcumin and the lack of any synergistic or additive efficacy, which, when used in conjunction with diclofenac, strongly favors the safe and effective application of curcumin alone in clinical settings for the management of rheumatoid arthritis and other pro-inflammatory diseases, including cancer, in the future. So to summarize, when reviewing the Nutrition Genome Report for patients with autoimmune disorders, it's useful to review the genetic susceptibilities to discover the most relevant pathways to understand the manifestation of the disorder, but perhaps more importantly, analyze the epigenetic triggers and how they are affecting those genes. Thank you for listening today, and we look forward to seeing you on the next lecture.